Behind every big hit.
He will score! And the Twins win it!
And every key strikeout.
Swing and a miss, he got him.
There are a lot of important decisions being made on the diamond and throughout the organization. And now, here's your inside look at your team on Inside Twins.
Now, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the latest installment of Inside Twins. Corey Provis with you today from Chicago. Twins and the White Sox set to wrap up this series and the conclusion of this five-game, six-day road trip coming up in about 1 hour from now. It'll be a 1:10 Central Time start. Twins and the Sox in the rubber game of this series. The pitching matchup, Kyle Gibson for the Twins, Jose Quintana going for the Chicago White Sox. This program is taking you up to the pregame show with Chris Atterbury. That follows us at 12:30 Central Time. And then again, 1:10 start for the Twins and the White Sox. Chicago took the opening game of this series on Friday, 3-2. A one-run game. Again, yesterday, Twins prevailed 4-3 and are now once again six games over 500, 24-18. The White Sox are two games under 19-21. We welcome your questions today. You can reach us two ways, via Twitter, hashtag InsideTwins, or via email, InsideTwins@TwinsBaseball.com. And our guest today is the Twins assistant GM and team vice president. We say good afternoon to Rob Anthony. How are you?
I'm doing well, Corey.
Great to have you back on the show. Twins after a series win. What has stood out to you watching the games this week, beginning, I guess, first in Pittsburgh, taking two there, and one yesterday, have a chance to win this series here today?
Well, we battled back in that second game against Pittsburgh, had the 3-1 lead. They tied it up late, and J.R. Graham came out and did a tremendous job for three innings, and sometimes a little bit of an unexpected surprise, a guy who contributes who hasn't been in that role before, and he did a great job, kept us in the game, and gave us an opportunity. Joe Mauer comes up with a big home run, and Perk, as he's done all year, comes in and closes it out.
Yeah, J.R. Graham, I guess the unsung hero in that game, and all the credit went to Mauer with that big home run. But, you know, I guess let's stay with Graham for a moment, because I think the first couple of weeks in the season, and I think Paul Molitor even mentioned this, that maybe the Twins had him in the wrong role that first week of the season, trying to figure out where exactly this guy will fit. Do we know any more about that, any more clarity as to what Graham's role is right now in the bullpen?
Well, I think early in the year you probably don't want to put too much pressure and responsibility on him. And so we kind of protected him for the last month and used him in non-close games, non-pressure situations. Well, we were running out of pitchers the other night. He got thrown into the fire and did a tremendous job. And I think, you know, as Terry and Paul have talked about, you know, as the season wears on, if this guy earns the responsible innings and more pressure and more tight situations, go ahead and put him in it. So he's going to have to earn that, and he certainly took a step forward the other day.
And sticking with the bullpen right now, the Twins, for the first time this season, are carrying that extra arm in the bullpen, just a short bench, a three-man bench, if you will, right now, with 13 overall on the staff. That includes Tim Stauffer. Beginning with Tim now, did you get good reports about what he did during his Rochester time? Because the numbers don't wow you, but did you see some other things that were at least a little bit impressive?
Well, number one, he felt good. You know, the injury had resolved, and he was throwing the ball fine. In a situation like that, when you ask a player to go down on rehab and he does everything you ask and he's healthy, it's not a situation where we're going to stash him down there or hold him hostage down there. When he was ready, we were going to bring him back up. So he's been back up, but he has not been into a game yet.
What do you and Terry need to see to get the roster back down to 12 pitchers?
Well, I think the situation, you know, we went to 13 basically because we had just went through the entire bullpen in that second game in Pittsburgh. And despite having an off day, there's a better chance that we were going to need an extra pitcher than we were an extra player in that situation. And Doug Bernier wasn't playing a lot, but it's nice to have that guy with that versatility that Doug has on the bench. But right now, I think there's a better chance that we were going to need the extra pitcher. And I know Paul ideally would like to have 12 pitchers on the staff. So as soon as things sort of settle down, and they've shown signs of that this weekend, hopefully we'll be able to get back to the traditional 12 pitchers.
Glenn Perkins picked up his 16th save and 16 chances here yesterday. Those 16 saves lead all of baseball. But the guy who has been getting the ball to him more times than not has been Blaine Boyer, who had that great streak snap the other night in Pittsburgh, went nearly 18 scoreless consecutive innings. Has Boyer exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, I think so. I think we saw him as a guy coming in and maybe a sixth, seventh inning guy getting us to Casey Fien. Well, when Casey Fien went down with the injury, we needed somebody to step up and take over that eighth inning. He's done that. He's pitched very well. And even when he gave up that home run to McCutchen the other day, that ball was down in the zone. And that's just a good hitter going out, getting it, and he drove it to straightaway center field. So it's hard to be upset about that. And then yesterday he came right back out and needed to get an out, and he did that.
All right, we'll take our first break here at Inside Twins. When we come back, we'll shift gears and talk some offense. Also, as the program moves along, dip into the minor leagues as well and get some other discussion going with Rob Anthony on some other baseball related topics. Inside Twins continues from overcast Chicago next on your home for Twins baseball.
Meet Maggie. Nothing thrilled Maggie until she discovered the Minnesota Lottery's new Make My Day family of games. Now everything makes her day.
Small coffee, Maggie.
Yes!
Maggie, party of two, your table is ready.
Booyah!
Prescription for Maggie.
Play Make My Day, week, month, or year for the chance to win up to $200,000. Chance is a beautiful thing. Must be 18 or older. MNLottery.com.
Center for Diagnostic Imaging is the official MRI provider for the Minnesota Twins. But did you know, in addition to offering CT, X-ray, and mammograms, our variety of MRI options fit the unique needs of each patient. If you are claustrophobic, CDI is the only imaging provider in Minnesota with the most advanced options in open MRI, providing a calmer, more relaxed experience. If you need an MRI, tell your doctor you want to go to CDI. Visit mycdi.com/twins to learn more.
The Twins won yesterday, so you know what that means. 50% off large and extra large pizzas from Papa John's. Log on to papajohns.com today and use promo code TWINSWIN to get 50% off any regular menu price, large or extra large pizzas.
Go Big Papa.
That's 50% off Papa John's pizza today and the day after any Twins win. Now that's a steal of a pizza deal. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
It's the road trippin' deal of 2015, thanks to Twins Trips. From July 2nd through the 5th, you'll catch three games in Kansas City as the Twins take on the defending American League champion Royals. The deal includes travel, deluxe hotel accommodations, tickets to the games, a reception, admission to the Negro League Baseball Museum, and more. Plus, your host for the trip, Twins legend Tony Oliva. Call 612-276-3824 or contact Target Field Events at twinsbaseball.com to book your Twins trip today.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Inside Twins as we continue from Chicago. Rubber game of this series coming up. Twins and the White Sox. Gibson today for the Twins. Jose Quintana 2-4 going for Chicago. We continue our chat with Rob Anthony. And Rob, I brought up Boyer's name, exceeding expectations. Same question, different guy, Torrey Hunter.
I think Torrey's done everything we had hoped he would do. We knew what he brought to the clubhouse. We believed he still had a lot of good baseball left in him. He's shown that. I think Paul's done a good job trying to manage his games and innings and give him a little bit of a break when he needs to, with a big picture in mind of keeping him healthy throughout the season. But I think there's a lot of things that fans don't see. And, you know, it's not just a matter of pulling a guy aside or talking to him about this. But he, you know, when you come in after a game, after that game in Pittsburgh, I was actually down in the clubhouse because we were going to make a move. And he came in and all of a sudden you heard other players saying, hey, we fight to the end, we fight to the end. And Torrey's been preaching that from day one. And, you know, now it's just part of the mantra. That, you know, the players believe that, and some of those things, the effect that he has had on the team, he keeps the team loose. And, you know, there are other guys, and there are other guys that have really stepped up to take on a leadership role as well.
We're more than 40 games in. Has Hunter played more? Forget the numbers for a moment, but has he played more right field than you thought he would at this point when camp ended in late March?
Maybe a little bit, but at the same time, I think he knows enough that when he knows his body needs a break, and Paul's pretty good about that. Paul played when he was 39 years old, and he knows what Torrey's going to be going through, and you know, Paul was in a little different situation where he's primarily a designated hitter at the end of his career, but if Torrey needs a break, he'll get to Paul and let him know. But right now, I think he's fine, and we've had we've been fortunate to have a lot of off days here early in the season, but as we get into it and we start playing the 20 games in a row, then he's going to have to make some adjustments probably.
Another guy who's been out there more times than not has been Kurt Suzuki. Such a tough position to play day in, day out. He's not in there today, getting a rare day when the Twins actually play a game. Herman's going to catch. There was that great battle going on in spring training at the end for that backup to Suzuki with Fryer, with Pinto was hurt for a while, came back towards the end of camp, but Herman was the pick at the end. It's hard to see, are you guys getting what you envisioned, whoever won that backup spot, are you getting what you had hoped for, or is it not really an issue because Suzuki's playing more times than not behind the plate?
Yeah, when you have a catcher that's going to play as much as he does, I think they like the flexibility. They liked having Herman off the bench where, he could pinch hit and he could do some different things. He has the ability to play first. He has the ability to play the corner outfield. So sometimes that flexibility when you're only carrying two catchers is kind of nice to have. But I think he's probably playing a little less than we thought he would. But at the same time, Suzuki's held up. He's played well. And he does such a good job calling pitches and working with the pitchers that sometimes it's hard when a pitcher gets on a little bit of a roll. You hate to change things up too much. And when Kurt's back there a lot, then it's a difference. It's a change for a pitcher to pitch to a different guy.
Not knocking Herman, but what do you need to see from, say, Fryer and or Pinto to say, wait a minute, maybe this player is more deserving right now and can bring a different asset to this team? Not knocking Chris, but just a different skill set, whether it be Pinto or Fryer down in the minor leagues.
Well, I think with Fryer, you would go get him. If you went and got him, you'd probably have a little better defensive player. And he's really swinging the bat well for Rochester. So Eric Fryer is a professional. He's doing everything he's supposed to. And we would have no problem if we needed to go get him. And as much as anything, it's a preference. What does a manager and the pitching coach have? What would they prefer to see out of your backup catcher? And we kind of follow their lead a little bit on that, as you do when you get down to the 24th, 25th man on a roster. How is the manager going to use him, and who would he prefer to have? So Herman hasn't done anything to deserve to go down. He's done fine. It's a very difficult situation when you aren't playing very often to produce in those situations. So he hasn't put up big numbers offensively, but at the same time, it's pretty hard to do that when you're not playing very often.
One more thought, then we'll go to break. Yesterday, Joe Mauer got a rare day off, and he was not in the lineup, and Trevor Plouffe drew his second start at first base. Was that the plan, too, going in? Because Herman could play some first base. Was that in the back burner that Trevor may get an occasional start at first base this season?
Yeah, and if Kenny Vargas was still up here, he would have been over there at first base yesterday. But when he went down, then all of a sudden Plouffe became the guy that if we need to somebody over there, you don't want to take Trevor out of the lineup. It was an opportunity to get Escobar in there and still have a pretty good outfield with Robinson and Hicks, who made another spectacular catch yesterday, and Torrey out there. So our defense in the outfield has improved dramatically since the beginning of the season. We were much more athletic out there. And in the infield, we've done a pretty good job as well.
And we'll see a good trio in the outfield today. Hunter's in the lineup DHing. It'll be Rosario in right, Hicks in center, Robinson in left field for the finale in this series. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to go back to Kenny Vargas, and we'll touch on him in a moment. Also get into some starting pitching as well. We'll continue with Rob Antony next. Here in Chicago, Inside Twins continues on your home for Twins baseball.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Wednesdays are student day at Target Field. Rasmussen College is partnering with the Twins to offer $5 standing room tickets the day of the game. All you have to do is show your student ID. For more information, go to twinsbaseball.com.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Fans 55 and better can receive $5 off Field Box or Powerball Pavilion tickets for all weekday day games. Senior Days, presented by Treasure Island Resort and Casino, runs all year long, so you can watch the Twins battle for AL Central supremacy throughout the season.
Welcome back to Inside Twins as we continue on here from Chicago. Twins and the White Sox coming up at 1:10. This show taking you up to 12:30. Chris Atterbury standing by with today's pregame show for the finale of this series. Corey Provis, Rob Anthony, Kenny Vargas' his name came up in the last segment. I was thinking something about what Terry Ryan said last year. Josmeo Pinto was sent out early in 2014 because he stopped hitting. It wasn't so much about his defense at that point. He stopped hitting. Vargas, same case, same scenario 1 year later?
Yeah, I think it was a situation where the pitchers made adjustments to him and he wasn't making the adjustments. There were a lot of breaking balls out of the zone. He was chasing. He knew he was struggling with the breaking ball, and then all of a sudden he was starting to get beat with the fastball as well. So I think it became a lot psychological, and I think his confidence was dipping. And when we sent him down, we just want him to get control of that strike zone again and swing at good pitches and not get himself out.
Was there much debate about at least keeping him through the Pirates series to have that, no DH, to have that bat off the bench that can come in, switch hit late in the ball game? Was to maybe hold on to him through that Pirates series before this weekend set?
No, I don't think so. I think when the time comes that, you know, you want to do what's best for the player and for the organization, and if his wheels are spinning and you think he needs to go down, then the time is right, then you go ahead and make that move. And the fact that there was no DH probably made it the right time, as Kenny would have been a DH, and now you're looking more at him off the bench. And when you're struggling to come in and just get one at-bat to try and do that is even more difficult.
Well, what do you make of the offense on this road trip? It's fascinating. The Twins have won three games, yet have scored one run past the fourth inning. Yet are 3-1 on this road trip.
It's unbelievable. When you score some runs early and you got to try and hang on, it worked yesterday. The day before, it didn't. We got the quick 2-0 lead, and we let them tie it up, and we absolutely, same thing as the second game in Pittsburgh. We went forever, it seemed, without a hit. And when you don't tack on, that's a recipe for disaster, because when you let teams hang in there, you got a chance to get ambushed late in the game, and so I think it's key to try and keep that offense going. And I'm not sure I can explain why all of a sudden we come out and score runs early. I know in the case against Samardzija, he pitched about as well as I've ever seen him pitch. His stuff was really, really good. And Chris Sale's obviously one of the top pitchers in the league, and we got him early. And fortunately, we got four off him, and it was enough to win the game. So,
yeah, Samardzija was good Friday. Sale was good yesterday. How about the Twins guy, though? Was that, and you saw Trevor May quite a bit in the minor leagues. Did you see that Trevor May yesterday?
Yeah, I think that, you know, his changeup is his best pitch. He went to that when he needed to. He elevated his fastball enough where he didn't leave it up in the zone. He was elevating it above the zone. He threw a lot of strikes. He got ahead of the hitters. I thought he did a very good job yesterday. I guess the one disappointment is when you score runs and you give them back. We scored two. He let them get one back. We scored two. They got two back. And then all of a sudden we quit scoring and he quit allowing any runs. So that's something that has been a little bit of an issue for us this year with all the starting pitchers. That's one point or another of giving runs back. And that's something that we need to bear down and try and avoid.
You know, when looking back, too, at May's start yesterday, you think nine strikeouts. The one downside to strikeouts is it can raise your pitch count. Yet he struck out nine batters and didn't walk anybody. And threw 80 pitches in seven innings.
Yeah,
efficient, economical in that start yesterday.
Absolutely. And his stuff was good enough that he attacked in the zone. He got strikeouts, and he didn't have to go to 3-2 to get strikeouts. And when he's pitching well, he can get balls by hitters. And he has stuff to strike guys out, and he was able to do that without going deep into counts.
The starting rotation as a whole. Yeah, there have been some clunkers here and there. Gibson had one against Tampa Bay, but in what way or ways has this rotation since mid-April been better?
I think that they've become a lot more consistent. I think one of the reasons is Ricky Nolasco's last 2-3 outings, he's been much better, pitched much better. And for whatever reason, we have not made plays behind him. You know, uncharacteristically, we had some guys make miscues, whether they're errors or charged as errors or not. But he's done a very good job, held us in the game. Gibson's had a very good streak going. Mays pitched well his last couple times out. Phil Hughes has turned the corner and pitched much better in his last 4 or 5 starts. So I think just as a whole, and sometimes that's contagious, but I think our guys are going out and doing what we're looking for them to do. They keep us in the game. And if we can get 6-7 innings out of our starter, that will go a long way towards maintaining some success.
All right, we'll take our last break here at Inside Twins. When we come back, we'll leave the Twins team alone for a moment, get to some other baseball-related discussion and topics as well with Rob Antony. We'll continue next, Inside Twins from Chicago on your home for Twins baseball.
Take the muscle out of mowing with Toro's new all-wheel drive recycler walk mower. All-wheel drive provides you extra traction for hills and uneven areas. The personal paced automatic drive system senses and smoothly adjusts to your walking pace. And Toro's recycler cutting system clips clippings into a fine mulch for a healthy, lush lawn. See the Toro recycler all-wheel drive mower with smart features and proven dependability at these retailers: Hugo Equipment Company in Hugo, Mankey's Outdoor Equipment in Owatonna, Acme Tools in Plymouth, Duluth, Bemidji, Grand Forks, Bismarck, Fargo, and Minot.
Hey families, register to win 4 tickets to a Saturday Twins home game, including free hot dogs, sodas, and your own private tour of Target Field. Find out where to enter at OurFamilyFoods.com. The Our Family brand is proud to support families and family-owned businesses throughout Twins territory.
Peak performance. It's earned through patience, sacrifice, and working with the best. That's why Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center offers comprehensive sports medicine services. Discover our state-of-the-art facilities, injury prevention and treatment procedures, and performance training programs for all ages and abilities. It's sports medicine designed by Mayo Clinic experts. Make an appointment at Mayo Clinic Square in Minneapolis or Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Mayo Clinic is changing your game.
Hey, Twins fans. Chevrolet now offers great selection on pickups available, including the 2015 Silverado from the family of the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickups on the road. Or choose the 2015 Motor Trend Truck of the Year, the all-new Chevy Colorado. See all the latest offers at ChevyDealOnline.com or visit your select Heartland Chevy dealers. Proud sponsors of Minnesota Twins baseball. Dependability based on longevity, 1987 to April 2013, full-size pickup registrations.
It's another season of Twins baseball in the great outdoors. Brought to you by Target. Expect more, pay less.
Kids don't have a field to play baseball on, they'll find somewhere else to play. Help the Twins Community Fund's Fields for Kids program build and restore fields. Learn what you can do or make a donation at twinscommunityfund.org. The Minnesota Twins Community Fund is supported by Minnesota Twins Cornerstone Partners, Target, U.S. Bank, Treasure Island Resort and Casino, and Delta Airlines. We thank them for supporting youth baseball and softball throughout the Upper Midwest and for getting more kids in the game.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Inside Twins wrapping up here in Chicago. A couple minutes left with Rob Antony. Always enjoy ending this show, whether it's with you or Terry, getting away from the X's and O's in baseball, some other baseball-related discussion. It's been, a prevalent topic this week in the game about pitchers being ejected using a foreign substance. Happened to Milwaukee's Will Smith a couple nights back. Yesterday, Brian Mattis had the same fate with Baltimore. How concerned is the front office about what seems to be a growing trend now, at least publicly, in the game?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think this has been going on for years, and there's always, you know, probably some guys a little more discreet than others, and when there's something as blatant as Will Smith, where you can see he's going to it and it's on his arm and everything, it's probably a little bit easier for a team to say, hey, look, you know, what's going on here, and the umpire to go out and just see it, and that's it, you know. But it going back to Joe Niekro, when we had him with the knuckleball and he had the nail file in his back pocket and stuff, and there was good humor, and everybody from David Letterman had, you know, a little bit of fun with that. But I think it's been something that's gone on for years and years, and like I say, some guys are just a little more discreet about it, and I don't think anybody gets overly concerned about it. It's sometimes gamesmanship, and sometimes when you think it's a little bit over the top, then somebody might call them out on it.
Because I guess, too, you have to be careful, because if you call out a guy, then that opposing manager or future opposing managers, they're going to call out your guys, whether it be pitchers or even batters.
Yeah, right. If you have somebody that you're aware of on your own club, then I'm sure clubs are a little more hesitant to say anything about it.
Irvin Santana, what's next for him?
Well, he's going to continue to throw some bullpens, and I think in the next week he'll start throwing some live BP, work his way into being able to pitch in some extended spring training games here in the next week or so. And then he's eligible to start a 16-day rehab about the mid-June to get ready to be activated in early July.
Rob, thanks for the time. Great job today.
Thanks, Corey.
Rob Anthony joining us here in Chicago. Inside Twins wrapping up. A Sunday staple here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. We have Game 3 coming up shortly here. We'll have the Twins and the White Sox. Kyle Gibson today, 3-3 for the Twins, and Jose Quintana, 2-4 going for Chicago. Stay tuned. Chris Atterbury standing by. Today's pregame show is minutes away. And Game 3 coming up. Twins have a chance to get to 7 games over 500. That would be a season high. Twins and the White Sox Game 3. Chris's pregame show is next. We thank you for listening. Do not go anywhere. More to come on your home with Twins Baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.